We got an email. A concerned mother contacted us here because her daughter is starting in first year in secondary school in September. And she forwarded us the menu that you can buy food in the school for the kids who are attending there. And I can read some of the stuff for you. I mean, little break, scones with jam and butter, hot dogs, ham and cheese jambons, cereal bars, bacon and sausage bap. That's the sum total of what you can get at Little Break. There's not a bit of fruit or anything on it. Something else, Big Break, Southern Fried Chicken Baguette with mayonnaise. A 4-in-1, which is chicken nuggets, curry sauce with wedges and rice. Pizza slice. A 3-in-1, which is wedges, rice, curry sauce. Baked potatoes with wedges and cheese, or garlic and cheese wedges. It's an, a long list of similar type of food. Very little other than that available. And I am joined now on the line by dietitian, expert and good pal of mine from Operation Transformation, Aoife Hearn. Aoife, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Ciara. Thank you very much.
What do you make of it? I mean, I'm a little bit shocked, actually. It's that bad.
Well, to be honest, I would say this is not necessarily uncommon. A lot of schools that I go to, I would see similar menus. And I suppose, you know, it is concerning because, like you said, there's no fruit, there's no veg, unless you count the sweet corn and the sweet corn sandwich. You know, and I suppose we are trying to support our young people to choose healthier choices, right? And when we look at this, like, there's no real food on us, really. It's all highly processed foods that we want them to consume small amounts of, not necessarily none of us, but we would I would love to see that, I suppose, there were more healthier options, at least available to the students, you know.
And you said this isn't uncommon. I mean, I'm just looking at it. I'm thinking if I was an adolescent, I'd probably go for the tastiest option. So I might have the bacon and sausage bap for a small break. I might have garlic and cheese wedges for big break. Or I might have, you know, the curry wedges or the 7-in-1 or whatever it is. But if I was to eat those thousands of calories that would come from those two meals before I get home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I know I'd have piled on weight, and we constantly question why our young people are becoming obese. They're not unassociated, these two things.
No, not at all. And I suppose not only are these foods, you know, very high in fat, salt, sugar, lacking in fibre, which is particularly important, but, you know, it could contribute to being overweight and obese. But also, if we want our children to learn in school and we want their brains to be available and, you know, at peak performance, I mean, it's very difficult to be even able to behave well and also, you know, learn when the brain isn't getting nourished, I suppose. And like, I would love to see that there were some guidelines around what we want in these food service options in schools. Because I suppose we have to understand, like, these are businesses. These foods are on the menu because, like you said, that is what our young people probably want to eat. They're not social services, right? So we need to figure out how we can still make this service support our young people. Because, you know me, and like, I'm not about not having choice. And you were talking about prohibition earlier. You know, this is not about telling kids what they can't do, but we want to help them how to choose healthier options.
There are no healthy options here for them to choose. Now, I have kids in secondary school, and one of them particularly, she's going into sixth year. She does evening study, so she doesn't come home. Yeah. She finishes at 9 o'clock, so she eats in school because you couldn't come home and be home at 9:30 and have your dinner. So she's starving. And what we've actually started doing is sending her either with kind of leftovers of the dinner the night before to heat in the microwave, or I do go to, you know, the supermarket, and you can buy kind of halfway decent ready sort of
meals or whatever,
kind of curries or things with boiled rice, because she has told me that all that's available is this kind of stuff, and she doesn't want to be eating it either. But I'm sure there are other parents maybe who aren't even aware necessarily of what's on the menu, and they're kind of going, oh, well, at least they can get a dinner in there. But there is no option for kids who want to eat healthy here.
I know, like, I suppose if you'd be limited to maybe having a bottle of water in the morning and the soup maybe at lunchtime, which is not enough, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I think there needs to be just more real food is what I would like to see on these type of menus. But also, I suppose, if we want to make the healthy choice the easy choice, it needs to be cheaper. So again, businesses need to be somehow supported, especially within a school environment, that the healthier choices are the cheapest, and then that profit margins are switched between healthier choices and maybe high fat, high sugar choices, yeah. right? So that we make it an easier, a kind of a no-brainer option that they can get more real food for the limited budget they potentially have with them. Because I suppose the other side of it is, like, once kids leave school, all of these options are available to them as well.
Yeah, people are texting. So, someone has said, third level, just as bad, Ciara, the most affordable yeah. option is the chicken fillet baguette or the sausage
so
and chips.
What I really think is we need to help, like, this should be part of their learning, their teaching, their when they're in school. We're teaching them how yeah. to make better choices. And so we want to expose them to all these things that are available, but then for them to realize that, well, if I do this, this and this, I actually feel better. And, you know, and it's cheaper and I have more money to spend maybe on other things, you know. Yeah. So I still think choice is important, but I think we do need to see a lot more choice when it comes to our real food, healthier options on these type of menus, rather than limiting them to high fat, high sugar processed yeah. foods. That's really not going to nourish them in any, you know, shape or form.
Look, thank you for that. That's Aoife Hearn, their dietitian and expert, obviously, of Operation Transformation. What do you think? Are your kids in secondary school? Do you have any idea what's available to them? Is there any option other than this kind of food? Because I actually think that if schools, a lot of schools don't do the food themselves, it's private places that come in and run the canteen. But I don't think you should be allowed to run a canteen in a school unless you're at least putting on the menu something a bit healthier than this stuff, because this is all right for once in a blue moon, but if that's what your kid is eating every day, you're getting into serious trouble there. But look, 53106, let me know what you think. Now, we were talking to Aoife Hearn, dietitian, just before the news, about an email we got in from a parent and the list of things you could eat: garlic and cheese wedges, you know, sausage and bacon bap, chicken fillet roll, 3-in-1s, 4-in-1s. It was a litany of fast food, high fat, high sugar, high salt foods. That's really all it was. And tons of people getting involved. Someone says, so what's stopping a concerned mother who sent that email, Ciara, making a healthy packed lunch for her child? This food isn't compulsory, you know. And that's true. But what if you're my daughter who's in school for 12 hours? You're going to live on 2 sandwiches a day. People want hot meals too. And sometimes they want them freshly prepared. Someone says, what happens to making your lunch at home and bringing you? How do they have money to buy that crap? But the same question. They're in school for long periods of time doing study. Someone says, dietitians have been the ones going in advising schools for the last 20 years. So you can blame them for the appalling selection as much as you blame them for the incorrect low-fat bandwagon that has the nation one of the most obese in Europe. I don't think you can say anybody dietitian-wise advised the school on that menu. I would find it very hard to believe any dietitian would. And someone says you could give all the healthy stuff away for free and a few kids will go for those options. The healthier food needs to become tastier and cooler to go for with smart marketing, and that requires big business involvement. And that's very good. That's from Lara. But Lara, we are seeing that things like Chopped, you know, those and all those kind of salads on the go kind of places, they're doing really well. And adolescents aren't indifferent to their health and their appearance either. We have to give them some options. And someone says, hi, Ciara, I've been a catering manager for a number of years. Now, schools and colleges are making a lot of money by hiring out catering spaces. Caterers are then forced to sell cheap, high-fat items to make a profit. High-end food costs are high as you have to pay for chefs and more ingredients. And I'm sure there's truth in that too. And Frank is on the line. Frank, you're a parent. What do you make of when you hear of that, you know, wedges, rice and curry sauce as a dinner for your kids?
Yeah. Look, nobody could defend that as a menu option 5 days a week for big break or small break. But, you know, like Aoife said before the news, you know, we need a 360 on this. This is, the school is providing an option. So it's an option. So there's other options. Bring your own, et cetera, et cetera. But in terms of, it's supply on demand. Like, if the school were, or the establishment, the caterer, whatever, were able to sell lots of the healthy stuff and turn their profit, then you know, the wedges option or chicken baguette option will become a lesser,
yeah,
you know,
I get,
business plan for them.
But if there isn't anything on the menu at all, and I doubt that they've just suddenly changed their menu, if this is what all that's on, like if you look at somewhere like the Happy Pear, I'm merely bringing them up because I live around the corner from them. There's a queue going down the road for people queuing to get in for vegan and vegetarian food. If you look at the rise of places, as I mentioned, Chopped, but I'm sure there's loads of other ones, I just can't think of them off the top of my head, you know, Blazing Salads, and there's loads of places around here in Dublin where you go in and you pick a meat and a load of veggies and they muddle them all up and give you kind of a salad bowl or whatever, and they're doing a bomb. And now they're making money and they're paying high rents in the city centre. So there is some kind of a demand for this. Like, are we not selling our kids short, presuming that all they'll go for is the jambon or the nuggets?
Yeah, probably. And I wonder, you know, obviously I don't know the background to the school or anything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, we're not mentioning the school, yeah.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you know, is it socioeconomic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, ultimately someone has to pay for this. You know, whether it's subsidised, not subsidised, you know, I can only assume that a curry wedge box or whatever it is doesn't cost a fortune versus, you know, maybe your steamed chicken, which are rocket, etc.
I hear you. But you know what is just as cheap as your curry wedge is the sort of stuff that they produce in the Happy Pear, because it's all veggie based. I mean, that is such a no disrespect to the lads. That's a fantastic business model because the ingredients are cheap and the food is tasty and people like it. I have concerns. Someone, for example, has texted in and says, Ciara, why isn't porridge on that menu? It's hugely cheap and you can do lots of stuff with it, with fruit, etc. Porridge is as cheap as chips and it would be a perfect little break or even lunchtime meal because, you know, it's got a lot of fibre in it, it's wholesome and you can add nuts and fruit. And like, we're not even giving them the options.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, look, I don't have a side in this, obviously. Yeah. I'm trying to be devil's advocate. But
I'm sure
if it's the porridge option, sausage and bacon option, I can only, in my head, imagine that it's the sausage and bacon option. Then if it's a porridge-only option, then they probably don't get the footfall.
I wonder.
You kind of have a
sealed audience. They've nowhere else to go. If you're in the school canteen, you have a lot of power.
And to throw this banner in the works maybe here, you know, I think all this starts at home.
Yeah,
it starts at home with options, balanced diets, your treat night takeaway, et cetera, where that healthy food isn't alien to your children.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I do think there is that. But the reason we got the email was from a mum who said that she tries to have her kids having chicken and fish and veggies and stuff. And then she looks at what's on the school menu and she kind of despairs because it's not the food that she would want them to eat. But if they're in school late, they have to eat something. And she's just wondering, what do people think? I think that it is no bad thing to give people options. And I do think,
I think we're
possibly underestimating adolescents, because an awful lot of the lads are in training and they'd love omelets and things because, you know, they're trying to take in their protein. I know that from my own boyos that they, you know, they start getting interested in food in their teens. And the girls are this kind of the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's many, I have experience with them, cashless canteens where, you know, you have to put your credit on a card.
Yeah, yeah.
That could be monitored by, because I assume it would be parents that might load the cash on the card. And it can be monitored to see what the day-to-day intake is or what meal was bought or whatever. So I think ownership and choice, certainly, but I suppose with choice probably comes price.
Yeah. Look, thank you for that. You're not wrong, but I think we need to look at this. And I do think maybe that we need to look at maybe if someone's getting a license, I don't know if you need a license, but if someone's getting the use of a canteen, if a catering company is getting the franchise or whatever it's called, that they have to have as part of that as a school caterer some kind of healthy food on the menu. I think other than that, it's probably not on. But thank you for that. Loads of people getting involved on the school dinner. Someone says, Ciara, I work in a school. We brought in hot food 3 years ago with an external company serving it. The issue was the kids didn't eat it, with the profit margins in the food industry at single digital percentages. They had to switch after a couple of months of losses or the business wasn't going to be viable. A lot of this starts at home. Kids will eat in school what they eat at home. So that's someone who's saying basically that they did take healthy food off the menu because they weren't being eaten. Someone says, Ciara, these reports drive me crazy because they're always about what kids should not eat, but no ideas for healthy and filling options. Parents in schools need help with ideas for what they should do, not just what they should not do. Very good point. Someone says, hi, Ciara. The government should look at how they advertise on public transport. When I drive behind buses, my kids have said, Mom, can we get popcorn chicken? Junk food is in my kids' face all day via public transport and advertising, not good enough. And someone else says, fourth year in my son's school, wanted to create a healthy option to go up against the school canteen. School rules do not permit any competition to the canteen once it's in place. Sausage rolls and chips are pretty much all that's on offer in my kid's school. And someone else says, hi, I find I'm really strict on cooking fresh foods at home because my teen wants fried food wherever she goes because of peer pressure. And she actually likes the good food, but outside the house, that's not what she eats. Yeah, there's probably a bit of that too. And I like this one from Connor. Connor, you cheeky monkey. Connor says, Ciara, I wouldn't trust anyone that doesn't like a bacon and sausage bap. The real question is why there is no egg or hash brown on it too. I do like a bacon and sausage bap, but I don't want to eat one every single day. That's the truth of it.